Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samach Zayin. Kuf Samach Zayin, Bava Basra. We left off on daf Kuf Samach Vav Amud Beis. We left off with the Rashbam yesterday, and we said we would discuss it. The Rashbam at the bottom of the page yesterday had said that when you have a teku, so Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya, by the teku, if we have a suffix, what the Beis Din has a suffix, what the din is, you can say Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya. Don't we say Mamonu Mutlu B'Savi Cholkin? He said, no. Mamonu Mutlu B'Savi Cholkin is when you have a suffix in Metzias. You have a suffix what happened in the case. Then it's Mamonu Mutlu B'Savi Cholkin. But when you have a suffix in Din, then we say Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. That is the Shita of the Rashbam. Now, Rabbi Chanan writes in Kovet Shurim that the din of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya isn't the classic din of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya over here. When the Rashbam says that if Beis Din has a suffix and what the halacha is, doesn't mean Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. What it really means is kol da'olam gavar. That Beis Din doesn't really paskin. Whoever has it will say, you want it, you're going to have to beat it out of me. And if you actually do beat it out of him, okay, so then you beat it out of him. But it's not really Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya, which is a psak of Beis Din, that the guy who currently has it gets to keep it. Meaning it's just that Beis Din, well, Hamotzi Mechaver Kal Dalam Gavar, we had a chakira when we learned the sugya in the third parak, whether it's a siluk or a psak, but assuming that it's a siluk, that it's Beis Din just saying we're not going to deal with this, so Rav Chanan says that in this situation, the Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya that the Rashbam refers to is in fact a kol da'olam gavar. Rav Chanan also asks why there should be a difference between a suffik in din and a suffik in metzias. So either way, we don't know what to do. So why should it be that when it's a suffik in din, we're going to say Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya? When it's suffik in metzias, we're going to say Mamonu Mutlu B'Savi Cholkin. Why should there be that distinction? So he quotes here in the Birei Adaf from Rav Shmuel that Rav Shmuel explains that any suffik in din, it's not really a suffik. It's not. It doesn't really have a shame suffix. When you have a suffix in din, it's just it's mashlama davar doma to a person who never learned the word of halacha in his life. So the whole world is a suffix to him. Everything that comes up is a suffix. So that's not really a suffix. That's just we don't know enough. We're not familiar enough with the dinei Torah to determine what the halacha is. So that doesn't have a din of suffix and it doesn't have a din of muchzuk or tefisa or anything. So we say wherever the cheftza is now. So you leave the cheftza because we can't give any sort of informed psak when we don't know what the din is. But when we know exactly what the din is, we just don't know what happened. So that's a legitimate suffix, and that's when we're going to say Mamonu Mutlu B'Savi Cholkin. That's the biur of the chilik that the Rashbam makes between a suffix in din when the Beis Din doesn't know the din, and a suffix in metzias when the Beis Din doesn't know what happened. Nimtzu Ubar B'Tzido, all those cases where the Nafal Habayis Alav V'Al Imo, Alav V'Al Ishto, etc. All those cases where we're simply not sure what the metzias was, what happened in the case. Okay, we are now up to five lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Kuf Samach Vavam Beis. A guy wrote a shtar, and in the shtar it didn't say I'm going to give you 600 zuz. It said I'm going to give you 600 and a zuz. Now, the problem is it didn't say 600 what. It said I'm going to give you 600 and a zuz. So Sholcha Rav Shravya Kameda Abaye. So Rav Shravya sent it to Abaye, and he said as follows: Shismeya Astiri Vizuza Odilma Shismeya Priti Vizuza. How do we know what sort of currency he meant to use? What was he referring to? 600 Astiris? 600 Pritis? What did he mean? We know what a zuz is, but what was the 600? Amrlei dal priti dal kasvi b'shtar da suche misachim. He says he couldn't have meant priti. Priti is a very small currency, and he says you would never write 600 priti because let's say 600 priti, it would be like writing I'm going to give you 10,000 pennies in this. You wouldn't write that. You would summarize it in terms of dollars, right? You wouldn't write in terms of priti. That's what Rashbam says. Da suche kamaski luhu somchen osam piti narin b'makom kuf tzadi beis prutos kosvin dinar. Instead of writing I'm going to give you 192 prutos, you would say, I'm going to give you a dinar. So it doesn't make sense. that he would have written 600 priti. Now, if he would have said two of something or three of something, so maybe then it would make sense, because it's not such a meaning that then it would become the only way to express it. But when you're using numbers like 600, well, then there are larger currencies that you could have used to describe 600 prutos. So he says it can't be prutos, because you would definitely summarize in mashal uzuze and explain it, write it in terms of zuzim instead of in terms of priti. My amrit. So what would we say? Shismei astiri v'zuza yad balashtar ala tachtonu. We assume it's 600 astiri, which are selas, because we assume the yad balashtar is ala tachtonu, that the balashtar has the lower hand, so he gets the least realistic possibility of what it could actually mean. Fine. Amar Abaye. There was a guy who wanted to show his signature in Beis Din. He just needed Beis Din to see his signature so that Beis Din could be mekayim his signature. Lo lechvi b'sof megilta. So Abai says, do yourself a favor. When you need to show Beis Din your signature, so you just want to put your signature down on a piece of paper, don't put it at the bottom of a blank piece of paper. That's not a good idea. Dilma mishkach la'acher, because someone else might find that blank piece of paper, the cost of Damascus Bezuze, and we'll just write on the top, I owe $10 million to so-and-so, and then we'll have your signature on the bottom. And Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Hotzi olav ksav yado shu chayiv lo, gov minchas mnechor, and if I'm able to bring out something that has your ksav yad, your signature on it, that even though there are no edim on it, but it was written in your ksav yad, and it says that you're chayiv to me money, so then I'm able to collect from the chasim b'nei charin, even though there are no signatures on it whatsoever. So that's why you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't sign it at the bottom of shtar. Question, what's the case Abai is describing? He's saying someone who needs to show his signature to Beis Din. Why would one need to show his signature to Beis Din? Right? To the contrary, normally if Beis Din has something that you're signed on, you don't need to sign something else that Beis Din can compare it. All you need to do is be Mekayim Ksav Yadeh. You go to Beis Din and you say, yes, I signed that, that's my signature. And Beis Din knows who you are, right? They'll question you, make sure you're a kosher aid, and that's it, and that's all you need to do. Right? So when would you actually need to show your signature to Beis Din? So Rashbam quotes a Gemara Maseches Ksubis that explains exactly the case. He says, the Gemara in the second parak of Ksubas says, "Kagon Reuven v'Shimon sheyich chasumin b'shtar." So Reuven and Shimon signed on a shtar. Now, if Beis Din wants to be mekayim that shtar, what do they do? So two possibilities: either Reuven and Shimon themselves come and they each say, "Yes, that's my signature." Or you get two Edim to be made that's Reuven's signature. Two Edim be made that's Shimon's signature, and that would be mekayim the shtar. Problem is, umeis Shimon. Shimon died. So possibility number one's out the window. Shimon's not going to come to Beis Din and say, that's my signature. So you would say, okay, fine, to Edim, we could say it's Shimon's signature. Ve'ein mi sheyakir chasimo Shimon el Reuven ve'echad min ashok. There are only two people in the world that recognize Shimon's signature. Two people that we have access to that recognize Shimon's signature. One of them is Reuven. Now, if Reuven comes to Beis Din and says, in terms of my signature, that's my signature, I confirm that. In terms of Shimon's signature, I'm going to be made together with this other guy, that's Shimon's signature. So the Gemara's expression, it's going to be mapik nechi riva demona al pied echad. That's going to be considered that you're taking three quarters of the money based on one witness's testimony. Meaning each witness should be able to be made about half of the information. Over here you have Reuven being made about three quarters, because he was mekayim his own signature entirely, and he's half of the Eidos to be mekayim Shimon's signature. So what do you do in that case? So the Gemara says we have a solution. Damrinin Hasam, sheyichtov Reuven ksav yado. Reuven writes his signature on a separate piece of paper. V'yashlichel Beis Din, and he sends that to Beis Din. Beis Din will be mekayim Reuven's signature based on comparison to Reuven's signature that he signed somewhere else. And then Reuven's never going to have to say. He's never going to have to be made on his signature in the shtar, because Beis Din has something to compare it to. Beis Din will be mekayim it. And then Reuven can come with one other guy, and they together can be made on Shimon's signature. So that's where Abaye is saying, if you Reuven are going to write your signature so that the Beis Din can see your signature in order to compare it to the signature in the shtar, so make sure you don't put your signature on the bottom of a blank piece of paper. That would be a very stupid thing to do. Now the Gemara Maseches Ksubas says that whenever you're Chosem, in order to send your signature to Beis Din, you should make sure to put your signature on a chaspa. Make sure you don't put it on a piece of paper. Put it on a chaspa, on a shard. Now, the question is the Gemara Ksubas saying dafka a chaspa and not a piece of paper? And in which case it would be against our Gemara, because our Gemara says you put it on a piece of paper, just don't put it at the bottom of a piece of paper. Put it at the top of a piece of paper so you don't run into trouble. So that is a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim, where that Gemara is against our Gemara. So Tosfos over there in Maseches Ksubas Daf Chaf Aleph says that certainly you can sign on a Rosh HaMegillah, you can sign on the top of a piece of paper, as our Gemara would tell you. Now the Gemara in Ksubas says sign on a chaspa, that's because if you're going to sign on a cloth, it's likely that a person will make a mistake and will sign somewhere other than the very top of the cloth. So the Gemara gave an Itza Tova. The halacha is you have to be careful to sign so where it can't be forged. As an Itza Tova, an extra security measure, an extra Itza Tova, the Gemara Maseches Ksubas suggests sign on a chaspa. But it's not absolutely required that one sign on a chaspa. Now the Tumim in Simon Mem Vav and Chosh Mishpat, Sif Kat Yud Beis, says that, no, the difference between the Gemara and Ksubas and our Gemara is that in our Gemara we're talking about the guy himself wants to know what to do. So the guy himself is figuring out on his own. Beis Din's not telling him what to do. He's figuring out on his own how he's going to be able to be Mekayim what Beis Din has. So he decides to put pen to paper and to sign his name. When he's deciding himself, he has to take a certain level of security, a certain level of precaution when dealing with his own name and putting himself at risk. But when Beis Din has to instruct somebody what to do, and Beis Din has to watch out for somebody else's well-being, Beis Din has to be more careful about the person's vulnerability to any sort of ziyuf than the guy himself would have to be. I mean, for you yourself, yes, it's an Eitzah Tova, go and make sure that you don't sign on the bottom of a shtar. And that's all you need to be careful for yourself. But this is a musar, that when you're going to go take care of somebody else, the level to which you have to take care of him is even greater than the level to which you would take care of yourself. And that's why the Gemara Ksuba says that Beis Din, when they instruct him, tells him to sign on a chaspa. There's a question in the Rishonim over here, if you could be Mekayim Ishtar based on a Ksav Yado, even if it's not a Chasima. Let's say a person didn't sign. We just have a handwriting sample. And over here it says, you have to submit a signature to Beis Din, so when you submit that signature, don't put that signature at the bottom of the shtar. Why, instead of submitting a signature, why don't you just submit a piece of paper that has a 200-word essay about what you did over your summer vacation? Right? Well, just submit anything with your handwriting on it. Shouldn't that be good enough? So the Ritva writes that even though the Gemara says that lo yachtam adam b'shmo, except for Barosh HaMegillah, because we're afraid it's going to be forged, there is a possibility, without using your signature, just write the Aleph Beis. Write anything else. Write an essay. Write whatever you want. And that's good enough. The Gemara says, Le'yachtom is just a harchaka that the Chum made so that you won't come to be Chosim Shemo. But you don't even need to be Chosim Shemo. You just need to write something. However, the Mordechai disagrees. And the Mordechai says, you can't compare a person's signature to a person's handwriting. When a person signs his name, it's very different than when a person has handwriting, and it's going to be very difficult for Beis Din to compare based on your handwriting to what your signature looks like. Because very often the two look nothing alike, right? We know this intuitively. When we sign our names, someone for the BKNW Bowl, someone just donated some signed memorabilia from athletes, so he gave me a thing, I'm like, oh, David Wright. He says, no, Dan Ugla. You know, you can't read a signature. You don't know what it says. So when it comes to signatures, it's totally different than a person's handwriting. And that's the sheet of the Mordechai, and that's the sheet of the Rush as well. And he says that that's why the Gemara and Ksubas is so makbid. Dafka, write it on a chaspa, because if you write it anywhere else, you're going to be in trouble. What do you mean? Why not just write whatever you want? Write an essay. No, the point is that that's not good enough. Okay, fine. Says the Gemara Vayter. Just one more thing. If you have a... What if a guy comes into Beis Din? There's an interesting discussion in the postgame. There's a lot on these lines. A guy comes into Beis Din with a blank document and has your signature on the bottom. Someone else comes into Beis Din with a blank document and has your signature on the bottom, and the guy says to the Beis Din, yeah, this fellow owes me $10,000. And believe me that he owes me $10,000, because if I wanted to lie, I could have said he owed me $1 million. I could write whatever I want on the top of the piece of paper. Is there such a amigo? Can you go into Beis Din with a blank document and claim with amigo that he owes you whatever you want to say he owes you, because you could have said... Numbers go up, it's infinite, you could have always said more, so no matter what you say, you could have said more, so can you have such a taina that Migo, that he should believe you with whatever you are saying, Migo, you could have said more. So the Levush says that in this case, you cannot be believed with such a Migo. He says the Nitva is correct over here. If the Nitva says, sorry, I lost it, it fell, I never wrote him any money, and the Levush proves it from what the Gemara says over here, that person shouldn't sign his name, also if Megilta, because someone else is going to find it and write that he owes the money, sounds like the chashash is not that someone else is going to find it and claim that he could have written something, it's that someone else is going to find it and actually write something on it. Meaning the Gemara never says, we're chosh, it's just that someone else is going to find it and use it as is. No, it's that someone else is going to find it, doctor it up, and then use it. Because you can't use it until it's doctored up. You can't use it when it's still blank at the top and just has your signature on the bottom. What about the Migo? Isn't that a valid Migo? Sounds like a pretty good Migo. So Levush says, first of all, it's a Migo Lahotzi. So Migo Lahotzi Lo Amino, a Migo to extract money from somebody, we're not going to say. And also he says that it's also a Migo against the Chazaka. There's Chazaka Eino Demotzi Mitachas Yodo Shtar Chalak Im Chasimas Yodo. We have a Migo that a person would never just give a blank document, that was the taina of the guy who had it, that I borrowed $10,000 from him, he trusted me to fill it in later, and he just gave me his piece of paper with the signature at the bottom. But that's a ridiculous taina. Who does that? You don't just give, this is a blank check. You don't just give blank checks to random people. So you can't come into Beis Din with a blank check and say, believe me that this check was supposed to be made out for $10,000, because I could have said it was supposed to be made out for $1 million. Levush says there's no such migo. Happens to be the Sma disagrees. The Sma thinks that there is such a migo. He says that the nitvas taina that it fell is not accepted. We're not choshesh l'nafila in general. And when a person needs money, sometimes it's not so crazy. If you need money and you're desperate and you need something quick and you want to always make sure you have money available, so you're gonna give him whatever he asks for. So if he asks for a shtar that has your name signed on the bottom and he says, "Don't worry, you can trust me," so you'll be vulnerable and sometimes you'll trust him to write that. It's not so unusual for something like that to happen. And the Taz, in fact, paskins like Levush against the Sma. He thinks that such a shtar can never be used to collect anything. Okay, there's also a discussion in the Rishonim whether the Nitva can say parati. Let's say I'm Hotzil of Ksav Yado. I filled it in. So I have your Ksav Yad that's signed, no edim, just signed by you, that says you owe me money. Can you say parati? Are you neman to say prati? So if I could come with a shtar, you're not neman to say prati. Why are you not neman to say prati? Because shtar chav yad may bai. Then if you really paid, why do I still have the shtar that says you didn't pay? So you're not neman to say prati. But over here, is this really a shtar? You can only collect from b'nei chorin. So that's what a lot of the rishonim and achronim say. The shitas harif and all the other rishonim try to explain the shitas harif is that that the lova is neman to say is neman to say parati in this case, unlike where it's a real shtar, because this isn't a full bona fide shtar, even though it can be used to collect. Fine, now some stories. Says the Gemara, about 7-8 lines down on Kuf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Hahu Basvina, there was a certain tax collector or toll collector, Dasal Kameda Abaye, who came to Abaye, Amrlei, Nichsi Limar Chasimus Yade, Dichyasur Abana Machvili Mavarna Luhu Balamichsa. He says, I need to see what your signature looks like, because you write these smichas for rabbis that get free tolls. We should have started introducing such a program. But he says that they get free tolls on the bridges when they show the smichas. So I need to see that what your signature really looks like, so that I could know what's forged and what's for real. So Achvile Bresh Megilta. So Abaye took out a piece of paper and started signing at the top of the piece of paper. Have a Kanugid Bay. And the man, as Abaye is about to sign, starts pulling the piece of paper just a little bit, trying to get Abaye's signature to be a little bit lower down on the piece of paper. So I'm like, Kvarkad Mukharabanan. Abaye says, I was warned about you. I knew about, I'm on to you. I know exactly what you're trying to do. The rabbis told me that you have a habit of being a little bit dishonest. So Abaye was Abaye quoting. This whole daf pretty much is dedicated to Abaye. Abaye has every story is about Abaye. Every halacha said by Abaye in this daf. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, "Mitlas v'adaser." When you're writing numbers about how much money you owe somebody, if the number is anywhere between 3 and 10, don't write those numbers at the end of a line. I mean, you make sure there's a word that comes right after those numbers, because those numbers can easily be doctored up to say other numbers. Tlas can be turned into tlusin very easily. Tlas means 3, tlusin means 30, right? All of these numbers can easily be doctored up. Eser could be turned into esrin. So anywhere between 3 and 10, it could easily be changed. Now, 1 and 2 can't be. Chada nothing you can do about that, right? Trey, there's nothing you can do about that. And once you have a chadasar, shnemasar, so there's no such thing as a chad esrin. It would be esrin v'echad, right? So you can't do anything about that. But numbers between 3 and 10, make sure you don't write them at the end of a line, because there's always going to be a little margin, and someone could always add in something else at the end of the line if he wants to. So make sure you don't add those in at the end of a line. Dilma mezayif akasav, we're afraid someone is going to be mezayif it and write whatever they want at the end of the line. The yisramile nahadri lidibure trin plus azimni. If it actually happens that you do write it at the end of a line, make sure you keep up, meaning sometimes you're writing a shar and you can't cheshbin out exactly where things are going to land. Some people are very good spatially figuring out exactly where words are going to fit if they put them to paper. Other people are not so good at it, and they think, yeah, I have plenty of room here. You always had teachers like that who, you know, when they got to the end of the blackboard would like squeeze everything in, or, you know, go off on an angle or whatever. Some people are good with that kind of thing. Some people are not so good with that kind of thing. Nowadays we just type into the board. We have a smart board, but, you know, the used to be. So it's very difficult sometimes to figure out exactly where everything is going to fit. So sometimes it will happen. You'll actually have the number at the end of a line. What do you do then? You have to rip up the Losh Tzadi. He says, no, just keep repeating the number as many times as you can in the document. And if you keep repeating the number, you know, instead of saying, so this loan of $50 that you gave me, and I'm going to pay you back the whole $50 of the loan when the time comes to pay back the $50 of the. Just keep writing it over and over again. Eventually, you'll get it somewhere in the middle of the line. And as long as you got it in the middle of the line, then you'll be able to tell that there was a forgery on the margins. So just write it over as many times as possible. It can't be that you're going to write it so many times and it's not going to land in the middle of the line at some point. Okay. Fine. Next story. Hehudava kasav be tilsa bipardisa. A guy wrote shtar to someone for a third of his pardes. Azul machke legabe de beis vekari v'shavya upardisa. He then doctored up the beis. He cut off the bottom of the beis and turned the beis into something that looked like a vav, and it looked like he gave him tilsa upardisa. Right, that he was giving him extra. He was giving him the whole pardes and a tilsa of something. Also the kamei da Abaye, so they went to Abaye. So Abaye looks at the shtar. Amalei, my time reviach le'alma l'hai vav. Why is this vav so comfortable? It has so much space. It's almost as if there was room for a bigger letter to be here. So kafte va'odes. Abaye beat the guy up till he admitted to what he had done. Abaye knew that he smelled something fishy right away, and he couldn't pull the wool over his eyes, and he beat the guy up until he figured out what was done. So that's what the Rishonim say. You're allowed to do that. You could just beat the guy up until you figure out. So the Rishonim say, yeah. That the Yad Rama says that we see from here that when a shtar comes in front of a dayan, so he says a couple of things. First of all, he says the dayan has to make sure to look at every single letter and make sure everything looks right, and make sure that just that it shouldn't look fishy, that nothing should look like it's out of place. That's the dayan's responsibility. And then he says, and if you have to be kofa the balashtar and ula hakoso, you do that to make sure you get the truth out of him. You can beat the truth out of the guy. However, says the Rama, that it's mistaver, that this idea that it's a dayan's responsibility to look at every letter and make sure every letter fits exactly where it's supposed to fit, is only going to be true when we're dealing with a shtar that's meant to take money from Yorshim or from Lekuchos. Because we have a concept of Tohanim Lelokech, Tohanim Liorish. Because the Lokech and the Yorish themselves don't really know any better, so we make taimas on their behalf. But if it's just a shtar that's going to take money from a mocher, from the lover, something like that, so that the lover himself should know if there's something wrong. If it wasn't upardisa, it was bipardisa, the lover should realize that. He should have known that and should have made his own taina. It's not the Beis Din's responsibility to find those typos and make that taina. Beis Din only has to go through with a fine tooth comb, to be so careful when it comes to lokeach, when it comes to a yoresh. The Torah, however, quotes the Rama and a scholar love. He says, whenever, no matter who the money is being taken from, the dayan has to do whatever he can to make sure that he gets the din lamito. He has to look through every single letter of the shtar. And the shach says, it's not really machlokas ludina. The Rama is speaking in a case where the nitva doesn't taina that there's any reis on the shtar. If the nitva doesn't say anything, the nitva says, okay, yeah, he says, I disagree, I don't think, but looking at the shtar, I don't have anything against the shtar. So then the Beis Din doesn't have to go find a problem with the shtar. But let's say the nitva says, there's something about this shtar that's just not right. And he can't identify what it is. He just knows. He knows by looking at it, something's not right. Well, then Beis Din has to work to identify what it is. Sometimes people have that ability to immediately assess. There's an author, Malcolm Gladwell, wrote a whole book called Blink, where he says the holy soul of the book is that people could look at something and in an instant say, they could come to a judgment that's more accurate than people's judgments when they analyze something. A fine piece of art, an expert can look at it for a second and say, something's wrong about it. And experts can go and look and analyze, and they're not gonna chap so quickly. Sometimes you just know something's wrong. If the nitva knows, he looks at the shtar, he says something's wrong, then it's the Beis Din's responsibility to find it. And it's the Beis Din's responsibility to look through every single letter to make sure until they know exactly what the problem was in the shtar. Fine, next story. Hudav Kasabe Manas Ruvain Vishimonachi. It said in the shtar, the money of Ruvain and Shimon, his brother. So Havaluhu Acha Dishmei Achi. Now Ruvain and Shimon actually had a third brother, and his name was Achi. So Azal Kasabe Vav Vishavya Ve'achi. So the guy wrote in the shtar, he added in an extra vav, and it said Ruvain Shimon Ve'achi, and it made sense because there were three brothers, Ruvain Shimon Achi. Everyone knew the three brothers. So Asel Kameid Abaye, so they went to Abaye. Amalei Abaye looks at it, he says, "My time Adach Lugay Amalei Vav. Why is this vav so crowded over here? It looks like it almost doesn't belong." Kulehai. So Kafte Va'odi. So again, Abaye beat the information out of the guy, and it turned out that he figured out that it was forged. But again, the story is the same as the previous one, just that you see that it's a Dayan's responsibility to be smart about it and to pick up on things that don't seem natural. Who shtar? There was a shtar. Rava Achabar Ada. There was a shtar that was signed by two people. It was signed by Rava and Rav Achabar Ada. Those were the two signatures on the shtar. Also kameh de Rava. They went to Rava. Amrlei din chasimus yad de didihi. Rava says, "Man, that's definitely my signature." But miu kameh de Rav Achabar Ada lo chasimu li me'olam. I would never sign. I never signed in front of Rav Achabar Ada. So I see that my signature is right before Rav Achabar Ada. I wouldn't do it. I would let him go first. Always, it just wouldn't happen. So I just know that would never happen. So kafte va'odi. So based on Rav's assessment, they forced the guy to admit that he forged it. So it was just a really good forgery to the point that Rav looked at it and said, "Yeah, that's my signature." Amalei bishlam adidis. Then Rav said to the guy, "I got to know your secret. That's unbelievable how you do that." He said, "Bishlam at the DZ after." He says, "My signature, I get it. I could see how you could be Mazayef my signature, because it's a pretty standard signature, a couple of curves and whatever, and a cross and a dot, and whatever. It's not so hard to be Mazayef my signature." El Ravacha Barada, the Ratis Yadei, Hechi Avadit. Ravacha Barada's handshakes. How did you do that? How did you forge Rav Achabar Ada's signature? When someone's handshakes, there's no way you're going to be able to forge a signature perfectly. How did you do that? Amar Anchi Adaya Mitzray. He says, very simple. I went to a shaky bridge, a plank that was tied by ropes into over a river. I put the shtar down on the bridge and I signed, and the whole thing was shaky, so it was no problem. And he says, Va'amrila Kamas Arnuka V'kasav. And he says, the other thing, some say what he did is he stood on top of a bottle that was rolling around. So he's trying to balance himself rolling, he's like on a unicycle or something, and trying to sign at the same time. So that way he artificially managed to get his hand to shake. So I got my hand to shake, and that way I was able to forge the shtar. So he gave away all of his trade secrets to Rava, because Rava was so impressed by his shakranas. Okay. New Mishnah. Kosvin get le'ish afal pi she'ein ishto imo. We write a get for a man, even though his wife is not with him. Meaning a man comes to a sofer and says, I would like for you to write a get for me, just in case, you know, want to have it ready. You don't need the wife there in order to write the get for the man. Why don't you need the wife there? So the Rashbam explains, because lo be'inan daita, shareim iskaresh bal karcha. Before cherem darbeinu gershim, a woman, it was even permitted to divorce a woman bal karcha, and now even after chem darbein, it's chal, the gerushin is chal. So a woman could be divorced bal karcha, so you don't need her to approve of the writing of the get because she has nothing to say about it anyway. Because you could divorce a woman bal karcha. I shouldn't say it was permitted to divorce a woman bal karcha. Rav Shachter always likes to point out that most of the things in the chem darbein gerushim were actually usher before Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem on it, meaning reading someone else's mail. That was okay. It was just okay to go in someone else's mail and read their mail before Rabbeinu Gershom came along and said not to. No, it wasn't okay. It was just that Rabbeinu Gershom put extra teeth into it by making it a cherem. It was still a basic violation of Ben Adam L'Chavero. So Rav Shachter thought, Mestami, you could say the same thing about being Megarish Bal Karcha. You have to L'Recha Kamocha. You have to be a decent human being and work it out and talk things over. If she's not comfortable with the idea of getting divorced, so you need to work on it. You can't just say, I don't care what she thinks. That's not appropriate, and it's not right. But Rabbeinu Gershom just added some teeth to it, and he made a cheirim on it that you shouldn't be megarish nisha bal karcha. That's the idea. Frek Tosfos v'im Tomar tells the Divar Maskel Af Al Pi Leicha Shem Akasav Litim B'nisam V'Lanasin At Tishrei V'Tarfim L'Kucha Shalachu Aperos Min Abal At Tishrei. Maybe he had to get written in Nisan and didn't actually give it until Tishrei. And then there are going to be people that bought the peros from the husband up until Tishrei, and now the husband's going to be able to, the woman's going to be able to come with a get and say, look, it didn't belong to the husband when you bought it, because I was divorced from 6 months before that. So isn't she going to be able to be motzi peros shalokadin when you do this? Right? The leman diyamar da'af le'achar shenasin v'legarsha ochel peros achas nesina. And this is working with the assumption, in Maseches Gittin, with the assumption that even after a husband decides he wants to divorce his wife, he's still entitled to the peros, right? That's why it would be shalo kedin for the woman to take the peros from the lekuchos. If you assume that the husband lost the rights to the peros as soon as he was nasan ein of the garsha, as soon as he even decided that he wants to be megarish his wife, then it wouldn't be shalo kedin. It would be very much kedin. But bottom line, why aren't we concerned for this? So if you skip down a little bit, four lines get wide and tells us about Marie to lo makdim inish paranusa lenafshei. He says, in general, we're not going to be choshesh that a person had a get written 6 months in advance. People don't write a get until they absolutely have to. A get is considered paranus, it's considered something that's unfortunate. People are not going to be makdim paranus l'nafshei. V'achy amrin parakam t'gitin, t'la makdim inish paranus l'nafshei, sheikh t'la get, kodim shir sel garsha. That person is not going to be makdim paranus l'nafshei to write a get many days or many weeks prior to the time that he's actually going to get divorced. It's an unpleasant thing to do, to get divorced, and therefore he's only going to write the get at the last possible moment that he can. What about a get that comes from Medina Siyam? Someone sends a get with a shliach lahalacha from California, from Eretz Yisrael, or whatever, so then it has to be written in advance. So we do see that it's written in advance in those cases. He says, yes, that's true, but then kala islay. That as a kol, people know about such gitin when they're written in advance, and therefore it's not. It wouldn't be something that we would have to be choshesh for. It's interesting, you know, the get is a mitzvah. Giving a get is a mitzvah. So this, you have to be careful about how we define the term mitzvah, because we very definitely and clearly define get as peronis also, right? That's the Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Shechter always told the story about Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik asked a Reform rabbi in Boston once, why is it that you guys don't do gittin? You rely on just secular divorces. Why don't you write a get? And the Reform Rabbi said, well, you should know, you're a big Talmud Chacham, you should know there's a din called Dina de Malchus Adina. So if Dina de Malchus is that there's such a thing as the court system taking care of the divorce, so that's it. So you don't need anything else. So Soloveitchik said to him, okay, but then why do you do... It's obviously not okay, it's totally wrong. Dina Malchus Dina doesn't cover ritual law. But anyway, he said, but L'shitascha, why do you do Kiddushin? So he said, Kiddushin? Kiddushin is a mitzvah. And Dina Malchus Dina doesn't apply to a mitzvah. So why was he wrong? So you can have a whole list why he was wrong. But one of the reasons... the very premise that get is not a mitzvah is also wrong. Get's also a mitzvah, right? It's just that get's not a mitzvah that you're supposed to do. It's a mitzvah, it's a situational mitzvah. If you're in a situation where the marriage is not salvageable and you need to get divorced, or where you're married to someone who's usher to you and you need to get divorced, then you have a mitzvah to go and divorce the person. But other than that, it's still considered a peronis. Not every mitzvah means something you have to go out of your way to try to accomplish, to try to do. Okay, so the Mishnah says you write a get for an ish av pishein ishto imo vashover li isha av pishein bai li ima. You write a receipt for a woman where a woman wants to say that I already received a portion of the payment of my ksuba, even though the husband is not with her. Why can you do that without the husband? Because it's a zechus for the husband. Zach ladam shlo b'fanav. I mean, this is only serving for the husband's benefit, that he's going to be able to pay less money now. So that's wonderful for the husband. Ubvachi makiran, provided that you recognize them, which the Gemara will explain exactly what that means. Vabal nosin schar. Who's going to pay for writing the shover? Who's going to pay for writing the get? It's the husband that has to pay for these things. Next, says the Mishnah, kosvin shtar lulova. We write a shtar for the love, afal pishein malve imo, even though the malve is not with him, the lender is not with him, again, because it's to benefit the malve, it's to say that you owe the malve money. Ve'in kosun the malve achei love imo, but you can't write a shtar for the malve to say, you know, if someone comes to a sofer and says, can you just write that so-and-so owes me money? Well, you can't do that unless you speak to the so-and-so and find out if he actually does owe him money. But in general, to write a shtar halva, the schar, the payment for the shtar halva, is paid by the lova. There is a machlokas rishonim, when a lova comes to Beis Din and he has a shtar chov biyado, if he can force the malva to lend him money. Meaning, let's say he has the shtar already written, the lova's got a shtar written on his behalf. Can the malva be forced to lend the money? And we're talking about where the lova brings a raya that the shtar was written midasa malva, meaning assuming the malva had a say in writing the shtar. Once the malva agrees to have a shtar written, does that mean he's now mechuyev to lend the money? Or is it no, that the shtar can be used if the money is actually lent, but the malva doesn't have to necessarily lend the money just based on the shtar? So the Ramban says that since at the time that the lova wrote the shtar hakna on himself, he was mishabed all of his nechasim at the time of the writing of the shtar, because that's when they dated it, so he's mishabed everything. So mela the malva zochiv to lend him the money until the zman that they were koveya to pay it back. Right, the Rashba, however, disagrees. The Rashba says, no, even if the lover writes and the shtar midasa malva, the malva is under no obligation to lend money just because a shtar has already been written. Okay, kosvin shtar lemocher afal pishein lokeach imo. You can write a shtar for the mocher even though lokeach is not there together with the mocher. Vein kosvin lokeach achi mocher imo. But you can't write a shtar for the lokeach saying, I bought this piece of land, unless the mocher is there to say, yeah, I did sell it to him, that's fine. And the payment for the shtar, for who pays for the shtar, is the lokech. Lokech is the one that pays for the shtar. Ein kosvin shtari erisin v'nisuin elamidashneim. We don't write shtari erisin and shtari nisuin unless both chasen and kala agree. What are shtari erisin and shtari nisuin? So Rosh Bam says shtari erisin right, how much are you going to give for your son to bring into the marriage? How much are you going to bring for your daughter to bring into the marriage? That's shtari erisin. What is shtari nisuin? Says Rashbam, ksuba. Shtari nisuin or ksuba. Now the Ritva asks on the Rashbam, if it in fact is ksuba, why do you need das shnehem? Shouldn't you only need the dasa ish? Isn't this just like lelova and malva? Because the ish is the one who's chayiv in the ksuba. So why would you even need das shnehem if it was really a ksuba? It's all the obligations are on the man. It's the man's chayiv to pay the ksuba. So he says that he's miyashev, that really the shtar nisun is the shtar ksuba. Why do you need das shnehem? Because any time that there's no kinyan, you only write midas shnehem. When there's a kinyan, so then you could write for one without the other. You could write for the lova saying he owes the money without the malva being there to say that he's owed the money. But whenever there's not going to be a kinyan, you need you need midas shnehem. You need the shtar to be written midas shnehem. Fine. The Ran and the Rashba and the Ritva, however, have a different pshat on what it means. They say that a shtar nisuin is that which the isha is masna to bring into the husband, and what that which the husband is mekabel on himself to bring in from his own family, and that's why you only write midash name, because it has obligations in both directions. And so Sarash says, no, shtari nisun are the same thing as shtari erisin. It means when we say shtari erisin and nisun, it means the shtari erisin that are meant to lead to a nisun, right? That the erisin, the whole purpose of the erisin is to one day lead to a nisun. Either way, the chasen pays for it. Ain kos and shtari risus v'kablanus al midash name. Sharecropping agreements are only written midash name. But mekabel nos in schar, the mekabel of the field is one that pays the payment for the shtar. Ain kos and shtari birurin v'kol ma'aseh beis din. Shtari birurin, we're going to learn about in the third part of Sanhedrin, is a shtar that determines I'm picking one dayan, you're picking another dayan, right? Those shtaros and all ma'aseh beis din el midash name have to be written with both parties there. Shneim nosim schar. Rameshum Liel Omer, Rameshum Liel says, that you can write to either one, right? You can write separately each one to the on their own. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that you have to be makiron? You have to be makir. The name of the man in the get, the sofer and the edim have to know who the guy is. And when they're writing for that name, they have to be able to identify, put a face to the name. And this name of the woman in the shofer, they have to be able to identify that they're giving it to the right woman, right? So that it shouldn't be used for any sort of thievery or trickery. Yasav Rav Safra Ravacha Bar Hunav Rav Hunav Bar Chinav Yasav Abaye Gabayhu. Again, Abaye was sitting by them. Yasav Yikomi Bayeluhu. And they had the following shayla. Shema ish beget in Shema isha lo. What? You only need the man's name in the get, not the woman's name. Shema Isha B'shover in Shema Ishla. In a shover, you only need the woman's name, not the man's name. Why should that be the case? V'leicha shdul makas of Gita, v'azul mamti le'li itse dehech. Maybe he should be choshesh, he's going to write a get, and he'll go and give it to someone else's wife. Zimnin azla kasvi isha shovar, or a woman will write a shovar, v'yavel gavra delav dila, and she'll go and she'll give it to a husband that's not her husband. So Amr lo Abaye, hachi Amr Rav. Shema ish beget vu adin l'shema isha. No, when we say we write the name of the you have to be makir the shema ish in the get, you also have to be makir the shema isha. Shema isha b'shover vu adin l'shema ish. And the same is true the other way. V'leich l'sh l'shnei Yosef ben Shimon hadarim b'yirachas dil makas of gita v'azul mamti le'li itse deheich. Shouldn't you be choshish about two Yosef ben Shimons that live in the same city, where one of them will write a get and he'll go give it to the other one's wife? Amlu Ravacha Barhuna, Hachi Amarav. Shnei Yosef and Shimon Hadarim Biarachas Ein Megarshin Noshosem El Zebef Neze Ein Achinami. If the names match up, there are two people that have the same names, so then they can only be Megarish their wives in front of each other. V'leichos Shul Ma'azel Masa Achrita U'Machzik Le'Lishmei BiYosef Ben Shimon V'Kasav Gita Mamti Le'Itzei Deheich. Maybe I know that Yosef Ben Shimon's wife wants to get divorced. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to another city. I'm not Yosef Ben Shimon. I'm going to go to another city and tell people my name is Yosef Ben Shimon. Right? Very sleazy people tend to have two names. So I'm to go and tell people that my name is Yosef ben Shimon, and then I'll write a get, and then I'll go bring it back and I'll give it to Yosef ben Shimon's wife, and that way she'll be able to say she was divorced. Amlu Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Hachi Amar Rav Kol Sheichzik Shmo Biir Shloshim Yom In Choshen Lo. That whenever we know for 30 days that that's his name, then we're not choshesh that maybe he made up the name. Lo is Chazik Mai. What if it hasn't been 30 days? Amar Abaye De Kar Leva Ani. Easy way to test it. Call his name out and see if he responds. It's very hard for people to adjust to responding to a name that's not really theirs. So call him and see how quickly he turns around. Rizit says it's not going to work. A Ramah knows his business. He knows to practice to respond to a name, even if that name is not his.
When you call yourself David on the Jeep.